I'm going to be talking about hospice ministry to begin with, particularly. And it might be upsetting to some people, especially if you've lost people and been to a hospice. But I'm going to be talking a lot more about life than I am about death, honestly. And I hope you'll find it a blessing overall. But we're going to start a video. For those of you who have never been in a hospice, they're quite different to how people tend to perceive them. They're not miserable places full of people waiting to die. They are places that are full of life, and the greatest place to spend time in as a volunteer, which I've been doing for 7 years now. But if you'd just like to watch this piece when it kicks off, I can amble on until it starts properly. It's coming. But the hospice movement started 50 years ago, next week. And the clip's going to show you something of the work that they do, both the practical and the medical caring side, but also something much richer in the side of the hospice that I'm involved in. And every time I watch this, I warn you now, I end up crying. So, for all sorts of good reasons. So if you've got any tissues, you can get them out now. But we're prepared to be challenged. It's there. Yeah, it's a piece that when it comes, it's from Strathcarran Hospice, so it's not the hospice I work in Scotland, and they did a whole series of pieces on different individual patients. So it's been published on the internet. You might be able to find it yourself at some point if you want to see the other six of them. Do you want to try the web link if that works? Right. So do I resort to telling you what's on it? Right. Brilliant. Okay. Thank you.
The pain that I was in was horrendous. I really can't remember. But unfortunately, my poor family do. They remember it all very clearly. Keep telling them, no, I can do this bit by myself, no, I can do that by myself, you know, because they keep trying to do, and I'm like, no, everything from the top down to here I can do by myself.
It's okay, come in.
Just ignore that. Thank
yeah,
you very
yeah,
much.
No problem.
Cheers.
Then we're going to see what your sitting balance is mm-hmm. like over the side of the bed.
Okay.
And if it's good, and if you're okay with that, we're going to use a slide board and slide you onto the wheelchair. Like if
I
you can do
see.
That to our satisfaction, even if you get 6 out of 10, Nicky, for practice, we'll know from this if you can do a slide board transfer onto a wheelchair.
So we'll just have to see how that goes,
alright?
She's finding strength from somewhere, I'm not quite sure whether it's just the sheer love of her family. I think she's had a lot of loss in terms of independence because of the fact that she's now almost immobile, and I think she's overcome that quite remarkably, where some people would just say, no, I've had it, I don't want to go on with this.
When your day is long and the night yours alone, when you're sure you've had too much of this life, hang on. Don't let yourself go. Cause everybody cries, and everybody hurts sometimes. Sometimes everything is wrong. Now it's time. learn to sing along when your day is not alone. If you feel like letting go, if you think you've had too much of this life, hang on. 'Cause everybody hurts. Take comfort in your friends.
Hospices are not just about the medical treatment and pain control, which they're exceptionally good at. They're about being alongside people and just being with them in difficult times, and I'll talk about an approach to that. So they use in that series, that they use music. People often have favourite songs and songs that mean a lot to them and songs in which they'll find support. I ended up at the Bolton Hospice when they asked the university, have they got any students down there? They want to come and do this, and that was 7 years ago, and I'm still there. I've just started this this timer. Yes, okay. Paul Davies gave me this app, so. Okay. Right. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your calling on our lives, sometimes to be in places where you want your love to be shown. I just pray, Lord, that we will just discover something of you today through this work. Amen. Yeah, so hospice ministry. It's not one that you would naturally think to go in, unless you've had some contact through it. And lots of people end up volunteering in hospices after they've known loved ones who've been cared for by hospices. And one of the reasons that that I've felt to be called there and understood is the first principle that's been shown there, that a lady's talking about pain, everybody hurts sometimes. She's not talking about medical pain, because that is really well looked after by the medicines and the pain control these days, but a lot of emotional hurt, a lot of hurt in not being able to do the things you used to do, a lot of adjustment. This is rattling a bit. Is that any better? No. Okay. So all that to adjust. One of the main principles of the hospice movement, which was actually started 50 years ago by a lady called Cicely Saunders. She had the first purpose-built hospital, and she was a Christian. She actually became a Christian on a mission when she was a social worker, and ended up, this was her life passion, to be with people that had life-limiting conditions and to be alongside them. And her principle that she evoked was being with. And as a Christian, if you find Isaiah 41:10, which just says simply, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, I am your God to strengthen you. I will help you, I will hold on to you with my righteous hand." So the first thing that God says is, "I am with you." And that's one thing that we can all do with people that we know around us. We can't fix everything, and we can't fix, but you can be there. I don't know, perhaps like me years ago, I would perhaps see someone who I didn't know what to say. They'd lost their wife or husband, and I'd actually cross the street to avoid speaking to them because I didn't know what to say, I didn't know how to help. But actually nowadays, you can just be with people, and that's so important. And very often, you know, patients, the whole nursing profession thinks differently in a hospice because you don't have to rush off and do something. Often they just tell you things because they want people to understand and they just want somebody to be with them. Now, the other area that I work in and what some of my work more purposefully does is supporting identity. Now, when someone has a life-limiting condition, often you become the condition. Everyone just talks about your cancer all the time and it takes over who you are. And that's very easy to do. So when I'm in the hospice, I rarely talk about a patient's individual condition. I spend most of my time just listening to their fantastic stories and meeting some fantastic people that tell me all sorts of interesting things. And if I just turn some of that into a poem that just marks something amazing about their life. People say, "Oh, I'm just ordinary, you don't want to talk to me." Oh, yes, I do. Because it's surprising just how the bits of attitude, bits of stories just become little bits of wonder. And that just helps them to feel that they've lived, that they've existed, that they've travelled in a way and they've done some things. I mean, just one example, very short, is these haikus. If you come across little three-line poems that just conjures up how someone met their husband in a pub. Okay, pint, port and lemon, a kiss in a man and scythe, walk me home again. Just a little piece of, that just captures, and it does lift people. So, I honestly tell you, when people come to the hospice and talk to me or anyone, they don't want to go through their CV with me, honestly. No one writes their CV in the last years of life, really. Because it's not those things that make who they are. I'll come on to something of that. But I will talk about the M word, the metaphor word. I get my leg pulled no end at the life group when I start talking about it. It's a metaphor. Don't get frightened by a word. Metaphors are simply a way of looking at something. It's simply a way of seeing something differently. And they're actually quite interwoven. I'm going to be talking about life is a journey. Okay, that's a metaphor. Because when we try to think, well, what is life? It's a word that, well, you know. So we actually tend to understand it as a metaphor by using it. And if you think it through, it's all the way through language. If I say life is a journey, that's a metaphor. Well, in conversation, anyone ever been in a dead-end job? Right? Life is a journey, dead-end job. You're feeling stuck, you feel like life's going nowhere, or you're going round in circles, or it's time to move on, or someone whose girlfriend's just jilted them and it's like life's hit the buffers. You know, once you start looking for them, you'll see them everywhere that come back, and I'll show you in scripture shortly. So I tend to use that very much and be aware of that and talking to people, because that's part of people's stories. And when people meet, they swap stories. In terms of finding out and getting to know people, you swap stories, you will. You won't swap CVs. So it's just a couple of poems that sort of work with that. And the way it marks them. Yeah, things happen in life, and there's a lovely chap, and he was a fisherman, and there's a fishing lake called Lindholm. I think it's in Yorkshire somewhere, which he visited. And He said, "Oh, Phil, he said, will you write a poem? Because I fell into the lake and some strangers and everybody just helped me out. And I just want to say thank you to them." I'd written some other ones with this chap. And he said, "So will you write a poem?" And he wanted this event marking. And that's one thing that poetry can be quite good at. So this is called Lindholm. "Grateful doesn't even come close. My blacked out dive into the water as I set up for fishing that day. Probably my last trip to Lindholm, and I tried to swallow the lake. They got me out, the people from nowhere, now everywhere. Nurse angels I never knew, friends and farm folk. Checked out, dried out, and decked out in new clothes. I won a fishing prize later that day. But the bigger prize is you. The prize of learning that I'm not alone. Today, I go a little slower. I now walk with a stick. With each step that it takes my weight, I think of all the richness to be found in friends and in strangers." And then another one of my favourites, which is actually called Travelling. I've got about 200 to pick from, but I shan't read them all today. Travelling. "Things you remember whilst travelling. Wrexham to Dunham Town. I stopped 4 years at an orphanage. At 8, I came home. Mum had a bigger family. Long rows of veg, struggling mine workers, and holding Mum's hand at the gates. We stood there for ages waiting to rescue the pay packet from disaster. A thick rice pudding to share, a squabble of skin and jam. At school, I ducked from a flying blackboard duster. Me, sir, did I really talk that much? The windows fly past at speed. It was better when you were next to me. The slow climb into a tunnel, then out into sunlight, dazzled. We met at a fuel stop. You returned, stopped again, asked me to the Palais. We danced. Now I'm still looking out through windows, bright-eyed and smiling." Surprising how just little bits of someone's life just captured how they met their husband, that they lost then later in a tragic accident. Just things that just capture something and set it into a piece of art that helps to support someone's sense of their story as it's coming towards an end. And it's the exciting thing about being a poet and being a person there is the people that you meet and those bits of stories. And I meet people that have been paper makers, precision engineers, people who loved fishing or cricket. And recently I wrote a piece for a man who lost his ability to speak. He could say odd words and he could point to letters, but we had a sort of conversation and he wanted to tell his wife how much he loved her. And the first line was, "There are things I cannot say, but you know my heart." And it just goes on to a few key things about a blue rose that was meant a lot to them. So it's a privilege to do this. And sometimes I do cry with patients, because this chap cried and cried, happy cries. Life stories, life is a journey. And we use the term end-of-life care. And we could call it end-of-journey care. If you think about end of a journey, you tend to assemble the things practically, make sure you've got everything you need to have, sort out, throw a few things away that you don't need anymore. But you then start remembering, you know, where you've been and collecting mementos and the things you want to tell people. So it's a good metaphor to use for approaching it. And people do get prepared. It's really good when you see people coming to terms with saying goodbye and using artistic ways and creative ways. The hospice uses memory boxes a lot, which are great. And people can start, you can start them now if you've got one. You know, everyone, it does you good to collect those things of your life and put them in place to think, yeah, this means something. This will speak to the next generation. This will speak to nephews, nieces. You know, you can put those things together, and it's surprising how it just affirms your story that you've collected. But some people will write poems. They asked me to work with them. Can you write a poem? My granddaughter, no, which granddaughter is going to read it at the funeral? It might be 2 years away, but she wants to sort it now. That's an amazing ministry that you can be part of to help people cope with the end of life and families to cope with bereavement. So And so, yeah, stories, favourite places, more narrative pieces about one lady had 32 grandchildren. Amazing people that you meet. I said this is like what we talked about a few years ago, frontline ministry. That you're just there to be a godly person that shows love and care and compassion and finds the strength to do it with. People will say to me, how do you do it? I pray a lot. You know, it is challenging sometimes, and you can turn up and people are not there that you thought would be there, but some people are still there many, many decades later. Now, what I want to move to is saying this is a ministry of love and grace. James 1:27 says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. So this sort of thing, we just care for people. And that's what the CAP work does, of course. You just engage with people who are in a difficult time and you're with them through it. And that's really important. Now, one thing that really struck me and gave me a particular focus of what God's about, when I read 18 months ago, and I've been John's talking last week about meditating on scriptures. One of these things I've been meditating on for quite a while. Acts 3:15 refers to Jesus as the author of life. Peter's talking to a crowd and says that they killed the author of life. And obviously, having got into creative writing and poetry, I thought, well, what? That's interesting to use the phrase author of life. And I was inspired to then look at that and then start looking at this life as a journey. And of course, Jesus is also referred to as the way. Okay, so the scripture is full of those sorts of uses of that. And there's lots of verses, but I'll just pick some just to demonstrate that. For example, Jeremiah 31:21 says, set up road markers for yourself, make yourself guideposts, consider well the highway. And he's not talking about going to Morrison's, you know. Psalm 19 refers to, your word is a lamp to guide my feet, a light for my path. You know, Proverbs talks about instructions in the way of life. Psalm 32 talks, 32:8, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. And Psalm 23, the well-known Psalm 23. He leads me on paths that are right and good for his name. Even though I walk through a very dark valley, I will not be afraid, for you are with me. So, you know, God understands how our thinking about life is about a journey. He speaks to us in his word about journeys. And Psalm 139, familiar to so many people. Verse 90 says, if I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Life is a journey, and it's meant to be one with Jesus. Now, on the creative writing books and things you can read, authors, they're taught, you know, how to write a book. I stop at 40 lines, you know, that's enough for me. Some people write whole books and have to follow things through. If you're writing a novel and you're writing a drama, they tell you to get to know your character. You made the character, you have to get to know your character, and then it becomes easier to write the situation that you're writing and you're in charge of it. And authors will develop a character through a book, and they'll go through good things and bad things and tragic and beautiful things, but it's all about their story, and they're in charge of this narrative, this storyline that follows through. And you know, meditation showed me that, well, that's what Jesus is doing with us. You know, we are characters being developed. He wants us to follow his story that he's written for us. And there will be difficult times. And some lives are far too short. And we don't know, but he's the author. He's got the bigger plan. And he's writing billions of character lines all at once. We can't get our head around that. We just know that we need to be his person to follow his narrative and to find out how we were, and he knows when we get things wrong. He knows we're going to sometimes when we get things wrong. But he's there because he's developing our character. And scripture tells us that our perseverance is to produce character. So let's look to Jesus, you know, because he is the author. And If we go to our key verse for sports for this church, if you see it on different bits of paper that we flash around, Hebrews 12:1. Let us run the race with endurance. Run the race that God has set before us. Run the race. Now, that's a pretty quick journey, but it's still on the seventh. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what's being spoken of here. That we are on a race. We have to finish. And actually, the verse afterwards, that run the race with endurance God has set before us, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Isn't that amazing? That we're just to follow his journey, his storyline for us, and to be part of it and to know about it. And the hospice work has really shown me about Jesus being on this journey. Sometimes I will have managed to have a conversation with patients, but you know, it's not a place where you go in a blunderbuss say, "Do you know Jesus?" No, it's a gentle ministry. Conversations happen sometimes, and there is a chaplaincy at the hospice, and a team of people that will come in that will move those things on with people. But I'm just there to support them and to strengthen them and to make them realise that their story is important. And if it's a story with Jesus in it, then that's a tremendous blessing. End of life care, end of journey. Now, just slight diversion, but this is important. I've explained the journey. We say life is a journey. Well, what is life? And very interestingly, it's part of this long meditation I've been doing for quite a long time now. You perhaps all know that the scripture has like four terms that we translate as love. Four terms for love. There are three terms in scripture for life. Right? Okay, the first one, in the parable of the sower in Luke 8:14, the seeds fell amongst thorns, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, so they never grow to maturity. Now, the word for life used then is bios. That's the Greek word from which we get biology. So this is the physical life. So these cares and riches of pleasures are interacting to do with the physical life. The second Greek word, Matthew 16:28. If you are trying to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Now here, the Greek word is psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E, from which we get psyche, psychology. This is emotional life. Okay, so that's the cares of this world. You're trying to hang on to. Now, the thing that's now really important, John 1:4. You know, in the beginning was the Word. John's chapter starts. The Word, meaning Jesus, gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. And in John 10, from verse 9, I am the gate. It is Jesus, the good shepherd. He says, they will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief will come in only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, says Jesus, that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, the word here is Zoe. Okay? This is the Greek word that's used for life here. So it's all about Zoe. If you've got a teenage daughter called Zoe, you'll know exactly what we mean. But no, it's all about... Now, Zoe... in Greek, is the divine life. It's the anointed life. It's eternal life. So when Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, he's not talking about your physical life. He's not even particularly talking about your emotional life, although he's interested in that, I'm sure. But the life that's important is Zoe, is this Greek word. So your journey with Jesus, the important thing is to know the divine life that is spoken about in John's Gospel and many other places. More often than not, Jesus uses the word for life is the Greek word Zoe. That's the life that's important. So as we come to wrap up, what is your story? What's your journey? And do you see Jesus alongside you through it? What is your life? I talk to patients, their sense of story will go back. They will ask me to write things about grandparents and their background, and they will talk about grandchildren and nephews and nieces, and often I'll do memory box work with specific poems for individual grandchildren. Sometimes quite challenging to write for a mum who's going to leave a 13-year-old teenager behind. So, but their stories are not limited to their lifespan and their own journey. So our story is epic. Not Eric, epic. Right? Because our story is in here. Our story goes back to the book of life that is referred to in Revelations that began before the beginning of creation. And, the Lord created us. He knew us in our mother's womb, says Psalm 139. So our story is with our Lord. All your relatives are in here, all the begats in Matthew. Everything that talks about what happened before, all the journey of the Israelites, they're our people. Before, so that's our generations going back. And of course our generations going forward through to the coming of Jesus, through the eternal life. Now we don't know how our journey is going to go and when it's going to end, but we do know the ending when Christ comes back in glory. So we have an epic life story. And if you see it in those terms, your sense of who you are, yeah. Isn't that amazing? And the Lord wants our life not to be our biological life, our psychological life. The Lord wants our life to be Zoe life, to be divine life. Living the new life. Colossians 3 verse 1 says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand." And the reality is that Jesus is with us by his Spirit. He walks alongside us. He is the paraclete, the Greek word is, which means one who walks alongside. So the band wants to come back up now. We'll move into worship just to finish as I pray. So yeah, life stories. Jesus, the author of life. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the hospice movement, for the marvellous work that is done by so many people and so many volunteers especially. Just to come alongside people, to be with those who are at the end of life and just to help them. Just to see their journey. We just pray, Lord, that more and more that we will know our journey with you, that we ourselves. For Lord, you are the way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You're forming our characters. You're forming our sense of who we are. And Lord, just help us as we go forward, just to see even through the trials and the troubles and the ups and downs that you are in our lives. And may we just submit to your authorship, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.